we live our lives. We can build our lives on the rock, which is Jesus Christ, or we can build our lives upon the sand of this fleeting world in which we live, and we can live on a fast-paced world if we wanted to. But in that illustration that he gave us, the only one that stood the test of time when the problems and the distresses and the storms of life come is a life that's built on Jesus Christ, because he is the firm foundation. I think we have seen that this past week. And I think we've experienced that across our nation. But last week it was decisions. This week I want to talk about destinations. Destinations. And these are difficult sermons to preach. I'll be honest with you, when you preach on hell, it's a difficult sermon. Very few times do you find in today's society preachers preaching on hell. So I want you to take your Bible here in the Gospel of Luke chapter 16. I want you to go to verse number 19. We're talking about destinations. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today that this word of God tells us that there's two destinations in life, two destinations which every one of us in this room will partake of. I pray, Father, that we all go to glory and to heaven. But Father, those who deny Christ and receive not the saving salvation that comes through the blood of the cross of Calvary, they deny that, they will eventually find themselves in hell. Father, it's a difficult lesson for us to learn. But Father, I pray today that the word might reach out and touch those that deny the glory that comes through knowing Jesus Christ. These things I pray in his holy name. Amen. You know, when we talk about hell, it brings about many different reactions from people. when we get to, you know, thinking about society in general, you know, some try to rationalize there isn't a hell. I'll be honest with you, there are some that teach there is no hell. There's some religions that teach there is no such place as hell. But the scripture brings it out. 162 times in the New Testament alone, and some almost 70 of those, Jesus speaks about hell himself. And so when we look at that, to rationalize, they would say, well, I don't even believe there's a God, and if there's no God, then there's no hell and there's no heaven. Well, if there is no God, then there, you're right. There is no hell and no heaven, but there is a God, Creator God. And they say, well, I don't believe that. It doesn't matter. It doesn't change anything, does it? You may not believe in gravity, but I can guarantee you it's there. And then there are some that might say it's silly to speculate that there are millions today that have not received Christ and therefore are burning in a hell, embodied spirits that are in hell today, going through torment and all of that. Robert Ingersoll, who is an atheist, said this: the idea of hell was born of revenge and brutality on one side and cowardice on the other. He says, I have no respect for any man who preaches it. I dislike the doctrine of hell. I hate it. I despise it. I defy this doctrine. Well, you can defy it all you want. But Jesus talked about it a lot. Religion. There is a God, but he is a God of love. How can a God of love ever send anyone to a hell? This is the position today of many cults, Christian Science. They say this: hell is an error of the mortal mind. Jehovah's Witnesses say the wicked will be annihilated. Well, there is no annihilation. There is no one who will cease to exist. The Mormons, all will eventually be saved and not suffer eternal punishment. The Seventh-day Adventists, God will someday blot out all sin and all sinners and establish a clean universe among us all. We can try to rationalize whatever you want to rationalize about heaven and hell. But there's only one that really makes the difference, and that's what the Word of God says. It's what God says about heaven and what God says about hell. We're talking this morning about a destination. Where will you spend eternity? The rich man in hell? Or the poor beggar named Lazarus who believed and was carried into Abraham's bosom? Where are they now? It's been 2,000 years since Jesus spoke that. These words in Luke chapter 16, 2,000 years. Lazarus is still with the Lord. And the rich man is still burning in flames. Years ago, in 1912, there was a ship named the Titanic. You've all heard of it. White Star Company was the owner of the USS Titanic, not USS, but the Titanic. And written on the ship and the slogan for the Titanic was this: not even God can sink this boat. Not even God can sink this boat. After it hit that iceberg, 3 hours later, 1,500 people perished. God sunk the boat. You know, there are those today who are saints and there are those who ain't. I know both categories. I trust today that you're one of the saints and not one of those of the ain'ts. There are many seated in churches today that are in both categories. But when we look at this portion of Scripture this morning, Jesus tells this story, and to me, it's not a parable. It's not a parable. If it were, this is the only parable in the Scripture that Jesus used a proper name, Lazarus. So many Bible scholars believe it's not a parable, but Jesus knew who this individual was, who was rich, and who this individual was, whose name was Lazarus. And maybe some of those that he was speaking to that day also knew who they were. But when we look at the contrast between these two individuals, the term that we really need to get to is destination. Destination. Where do they go? Now we find here in the first portion of it, here in verse number 19, there was a certain rich man clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Clothed in purple, royalty, linen. The linen in that day and that age came from Europe, so it was imported stuff, imported clothes. Clothed in purple, dressed in fine linen, and he ate sumptuously every night. You know what that reminds me of? Us. Us today. We come in, we dress up. There's not probably a one of us in this room who went to bed hungry last night nor got up today hungry. We are extremely rich. Extremely rich. We're the richest nation in the world. God has blessed us so. But there are many that are like Lazarus around this old world. Destitute, beggar. And the term beggar means to crouch or to cringe, wanting something. And it says he was laid or thrust out, dismissal, cast out, and he was laid at this rich man's gate. He wasn't in. Wasn't allowed in, but he laid at the gate, desiring to be fed from just the very crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Diseased, his body was ulcerated, and the dogs come and lick his sores. You say, where's that happen at? Deprivation, desiring to be fed, deprived of food, had nothing. And the contrast is this: one had everything and lacked nothing, and one had nothing and lacked everything except God. We have a picture here of the worst and the best. The worst and the best. Which one would you rather be? Would you rather be the rich man today? Or would you rather be Lazarus today? That's not a tough question, is it? Anyone in his right mind would say, I'll take Lazarus today. I'll take Lazarus today. But you see, it's a choice, isn't it? It's a choice. A choice that determines destination. They're passing. They both died. Hey, I got news. So will we. So will you. So will I. Just as been mentioned, Lynn mentioned it. You and I only have now. We only have right now. Yesterday's gone. And for some, tomorrow will never come. That is here. One was buried, and one was carried. I underlined those two little words in my Bible. One was carried to Abraham's bosom. The angels acknowledged Lazarus, and they carried him into Abraham's bosom. What a reunion. What a glorious picture that gives us. And the rich man, oh, you can imagine his funeral. He was buried. He was embalmed. He had the best suit on. He had it all. I mean, he had, as I've shared one other time, I know I had a gentleman years ago when I was a little kid. He was the owner of the farm in which mom and dad rented. And he died in his early 50s. Sally would know him. He liked me. He and his wife would come out to the farm, and I think I've shared this with you. You know, he just wanted me. I was a little boy. I was maybe 5 or 6 years old. And he said, would you just come and spend one night with me and my wife? Because, you see, we only have one child, and he's gone now. And just spend one night. He says, if you spend one night with me, I'll give you a pony. He can afford a pony. Good grief, he owned half of Rockville. He had apartments. He had furniture stores. He had farms. He had lumber yards. He owned half of Attica, too. But the thing was, he finally got up to, if you come and stay with me, I'll give you 8 ponies. I never took him up on it. Not me. But he died at a very young age, and my dad was one of the pallbearers at his funeral. It was a solid copper casket. My dad said, as he walked across the cemetery that day, he said, my dad was a strong man back in those days. And he said, our feet were just sinking down in the cemetery because of the weight of the casket. He was rich, ungodly, lost. He died and was buried, and we can imagine. But what happened to his soul? You see, this morning we are a three-part person, body, soul, and spirit. It's what you are. And if you're a Christian today, you're in a body and you have a soul and you have a spirit that's alive to God. But if you're not a Christian, you're a body and you're a soul and your spirit is dead. Dead. To God. And so the contrast of their lives and the contrast of their death is quite evident. And then the contrast of their destinations. The destination. An everlasting destination of heaven or hell. How many of you believe this morning that there is an eternity. An eternity is that which is forever and ever and ever and never ceases to end. An eternity, there is, isn't there? In the book of Psalms, it's told that God has placed eternity in our hearts, in our lives. Eternity. We know that there is a life after death. You come across people that, I think when you die, that's just it. You cease to exist. They don't really believe that because, you see, God has placed eternity in our hearts and our lives, and you can't change that. It's a God thing. They only hope that their lives end, and that's all there is. But verse 25, if you look at it there in verse number 25, but Abraham said, son, remember. Now notice, both have a memory that will go on and on and on and on. Remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Quite a contrast. Comfort versus torment. Which one would you choose? Doesn't take a brain surgeon to know which one would be most beneficial. Comfort. The Holy Spirit of God is our comforter. He's the paraclete. He's the one who comes alongside of us in our lives. And so when we see this, we see the destination that everyone will one day receive, heaven or hell. Heaven or hell. And so when we contrast then the destination of heaven and hell, we find a conflict, unanswered prayer. The rich man is praying. He's praying. If you look there, you find out that he's praying, Father Abraham. Then he said in verse 27, I pray thee, Father Abraham, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Unanswered prayer. No mercy. And I think the thing that really is the most devastating thing of all of the rich man's destination is without hope. No hope. You know, we live in a day and age of hope. I was, to be honest with you, I was watching Notre Dame and Texas A&M. How many of you watched the game last night? Okay, a few of you. My hope was that there would have been an interception there at the end, or my hope was that they would drop the ball, or my hope was, because I was rooting for Notre Dame rather than Texas A&M. But I had hope up until the final buzzer went off and they lose. You know, in life, the final buzzer of our lives is when we take our last breath here. And then the destination is sealed. Sealed. Determined. It's written. There is no recourse. You turn down Jesus Christ today in this life and you go into eternity without him, without hope of ever, ever getting out. Notice the conflict here and the contrast between being blessed in torment. Parched tongue. Who my tongue Just one little drop of water. There's no water there. There's burning flame. Most Bible scholars believe it's in the center of the earth. That's where hell is. I kind of take that as my thinking also. Separation from God. A lake of fire, outer darkness, Matthew 8, 12. Revelation 21 tells us that there's a paradise for those who realize that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now let me say destination. Destination is an eternal thing too. Where will you spend it? Where will I spend it? You know, faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, right? Faith. We take Christ's death, burial, and resurrection by faith, don't we? We take it by faith. And we believe it. Christ alone. By faith alone.
So where?
The rich man said, if you send him back to my father's house, I've often mentioned this thought, if anyone ever came back from hell, they'd be the greatest soul winner this world had ever seen. He says, if someone goes to them who has risen from the dead, they'll believe them. Just send Lazarus, bring him back from the dead, let him go to my father's house, and they'll believe. I want to point out to you this morning, folks, there has been someone that has risen from the dead. And he's alive today. And his name is Jesus. And without him, there is no eternal life. It's a personal decision, a change. The rich man had time, didn't he? He had time to choose. I don't know how long Lazarus had laid at his gate. I don't know how many years he had been there, but this morning it's a spiritual decision on where we spend eternity. I realize this morning that preaching on hell is not popular. But I also realize it's in my Bible and God said it. And it's written in red, so Jesus said it and he meant it. There's coming a day. There's coming a day for you and I that there will no longer be that call to repent and to accept. You see, there comes a day when God says, that's your last time, that's your last opportunity. That's your last opportunity to choose me or to allow me to live my life in and through you. Your last opportunity to become a Christian. I don't know how long it took for the rich man. It's the last opportunity to happen, but it happened. I know in my personal life, I have had friends or had friends that to all of my knowledge and thinking, I'm no judge, but to all of my knowledge and thinking of their lives, they turned down Jesus Christ. Lost opportunity to repent. The last one. Our salvation is by faith, not feeling. It's by faith alone. Today, there's still repentance available. There's still hope. There's still a choice. There's still a time to say yes to Christ. Belief changes behavior. One's belief changes behavior. Two individuals, two lives, two choices, two destinations, two souls, one in heaven, one in hell. This morning, the choice is still available. We have our choice. Now you say, well, why are you telling, why are you preaching that to us today? I look at you and I know just about every one of you in here. I know your lives, how you've been brought up. I know where you come from. I know your families. I know most of you in here. But I don't know your life personally, spiritually, really. See, you can fool preachers. It's pretty easy. You can fool preachers. You can even fool churches. I could fool you today. I could lie to you today about my personal life. But here's what I do know. I know this, that if there's no heaven and if there's no hell, there's no reason for us to be here. There's no reason for us to be here. We're here to acknowledge the very love of God to save your sin-sick and my sin-sick soul. We better acknowledge that or be forever lost. See, is Jesus Christ a choice? Is he a choice? Do we choose him? He's Lord. Scripture calls him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Who is he to you? To me, he's my Lord and Savior. He's the very Son of God. He is my eternal hope. He is my only salvation. He's my only way to heaven. He spoke of himself and he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. No man. There's only one way. Two destinations, one way to heaven. Just stand this morning, please. No, it's not an easy message to preach. I don't desire preaching on hell. I really don't. But I do know this. If I don't preach on hell once in a while, there might be someone slip through the cracks and say, well, you know, I'm okay. I'm as good as the next person. And you are. You are as good as the next person. We're all sinners. The only problem is, I think the vast majority in here know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life. But there may be one. And that's who I'm preaching to today. Maybe you. One. Who has never, ever, ever trusted Christ for the salvation of your soul. And since you haven't, You need to accept him. You need to realize who he is. You need to make him king of your life and savior of your soul. You say, well, how do I do that, Jack? The scripture says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In other words, we repent as a sinner. We acknowledge us as sinners and we say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Save my soul in Jesus' name. That's all it takes. Scripture says, for with the heart, man believes. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That's simple. It's not walking down an aisle and shaking a preacher's hand. You've heard me say that. There's not a single individual that ever got saved by shaking a preacher's hand. You get saved by a heart change. That's how we get saved. Don't leave without Jesus Christ. Your destination is determined by it. Amen? Father, thank you today. It's difficult for me, but it wasn't easy for the Lord Jesus either. He went to the cross. He despised the shame. And now he's sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for us. He took all of the burden upon him. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Father, what a privilege today it is to call Jesus Lord, Savior, King, coming again, Redeemer. We thank you in his holy name. Amen. Amen. Thank you today. Shake